Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of Futures Radio Show, where we will highlight our favorite moments of the show over the past month. But before we get started, I want to thank all of our sponsors: CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. So without further ado, let's dial into those top moments of the show this month. What are some things that you learned early in your career that you still use to trade now?
Open interest, patterning open interest, because in the cattle, it's a physical deliverable contract. So once you get through what's called first notice day, which is it's the Monday after the last Friday of the month. So options expire for, let's say, for instance, for the June contract, they'll expire the last Friday in May. Then that preceding Monday is first notice day. So therefore, almost all the CTAs and all the funds have in their bylaws that they cannot take physical delivery of anything. So therefore, they will all be out by first notice day. So then some of my most successful trades were based off of, once you get the market into the delivery mode, the fundamentals take over. So the funds are not in that market and they can't make it move, you know, $4 or $5 a day because of their swings. So it eliminates 98% of all the fund money in there after first notice day. And therefore, the market will trade more fundamental. Now, you may only get, you know, a total of 21 trading days or so in that time frame, but most of the time, the market acts like it should because your open interest is down to a reasonable number. You don't have these big influx of funds coming in and just moving the market. So therefore, that's when I used to do, you know, when I used to trade the front month spreads and stuff. And I would always base it off of the open interest because obviously human instinct is always like to be long. Everybody likes to see the market go up. But the money is most of the time is made three times as fast on the downside because of the panic elements in it. So I would always take open interest and divide it by however many days are left. If there's 20,000 open and there's 20 trading days left in the June, basically you have to liquidate 1,000 a day to get down to zero by the time it's all done. And the bigger the open interest was in those days, the less time you had to get down. And that usually was an infiltration. The longs always stay the longest. It just seems like it always would stay. And so when I would catch the biggest trades was the open interest versus the day's trading and when it was at the lowest. And that usually precipitated a move upward if the fundamentals justified it. And that's when the market was a true market because it would trade like it used to back in the 90s and early 2000s when the fundamental news would drive it.
To all the point and click traders out there that are interested in potentially taking their strategy and turning it into an algorithmic trading strategy, what is the first step they should take?
So I think choosing the right platform to begin your algorithm development is key. Systems like Trading Technologies or TradeStation give you a lot of higher level building blocks that you can use so you don't have to write complex code. So that's a really good way to start. That's how I started. I took these blocks and created the strategies that I could then do backtesting with. So things like how to implement a trailing stop and how to do a stop loss order, they're already built in. There are things that use Bollinger Bands or other indicators, RSI, et cetera, they're already built in. So you could start experimenting with those and gluing these little blocks together to create the strategy. And then do the backtesting, and that's the hardest part. And the key is to, let's say, develop your strategy within, you know, using the past 5 years, and see, you know, if you're profitable or not, and choose something that you would have a high rate of success, you know, whether it is, you know, 60%, 70%, or something like that. And then understand that might change at another time because of market conditions. So change the settings in the platform to go back and say, okay, I have this code and this strategy already coded, you know, that works really great in the past 5 years. It gives me a 60% success rate, and I have, you know, an X percentage of profit across all these different years. My drawdowns are low. So let me see what happens in, you know, 2007 through 2009, and objectively look at that and see, oh, okay, so if you have very big losses, would you have been able to survive that period of time? And how can you improve that? And look at in the past, look at periods of time that offer you insight as to the variety of market conditions that your strategy might experience. So that, I think that's the key when you start, is that gaining that objectivity.
I want to talk about deep learning, because I know that you use deep learning in your strategies.
Yes.
So before we even get into how you use it in your strategies, can you just tell everybody what deep learning is?
Yeah. Deep learning is the lowest subset of the field of artificial intelligence. And it's really, if you think about it, it's really how humans are human. Okay, if you think about it, Ben, artificial intelligence is of intelligence. And that's where we talk about, you know, how we recognize things, faces, how we recognize patterns, how we recognize voices, how we translate language and understand that sort of thing. And then as you go deeper into the process of how humans think, you know, you get through machine learning, which is, you know, gathering large amounts of information and trying to optimally understand what it says. But deep learning is at the smallest level. And it's really about how, like, our synapses work to make a single decision. So it's like whether you say, you know, buy beans, sell beans, and you're looking at a chart, and it's really about having this, if this information happens, then you sell. If this information happens, then you buy. And it's really about breaking the thought process of how we trade, as, you know, intellectually how we trade. And that's been what I've been doing the last 3 or 4 years, is just sitting down and saying, how do I know that wheat is going to go up? Or how do I know that the KC Chicago is going from 20 to 30? And begin to actually code that in. And once you begin to code more and more of it in, then you begin to get more of an intellectual process where you can continue to build on these neural networks, as they're called. And each one of these little decision points is like a neuron in your brain that fires when you see light and you say, okay, I know it's daytime. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000, and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. Let's talk about breaking bad habits and building new good habits, because let's face it.
Oh, God.
As traders, we always start off building bad habits. I don't know a trader out there that hasn't started to trade and has started building bad habits. And then it becomes extremely difficult, especially if you had some success with a bad habit, to then break it and build a new good habit.
I work with traders so often now, and about this exact thing. But breaking bad habits to me means so many things. From stops. I didn't start smoking until I got on the trading floor. Like that day, the day that I got on the trading floor, I was like, oh my God, this is for me. Give me a cigarette. And I smoked. My brain's out until 6 years ago, 7 years ago. My son said 6 years ago. So it was 6 years ago. I can't remember when I quit smoking, frankly. Anyway, so simple as that, and also eating right and exercising. But one of the things that we talk a lot about is picking tops and picking bottoms. And everybody's got their particular way of doing it, you know. And I've seen traders make a lot of money doing it and be very, very successful long term. But it takes an incredible amount of discipline in order to do that. And I don't have that kind of discipline. When I came back and I needed to make money back in 2013, I needed to be positive, you know. And so I would trade the opening range and I'd make a couple of $1,000 and I'd be all happy. And then, hey, well, you know, these 82s, this looks like the top. I'm going to sell them. And now I'm buying 84s. Oh, the market's rallying, so I'm going to get long. Now I'm selling them back at 80. You know, I'm trading in the middle. All of those things, picking tops, picking bottoms, trading in the middle, that creates, when I started tweeting back in August of this year, a new term I learned, which is FOMO. FOMO. I didn't know. I know what FOMO is. I've lived it. I've starred in that movie. I've directed and written it, but I didn't know there was an actual term for it. FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, the market's moving and you've got to be a part of every move. You got to be a part of every wiggle. You know, it's okay, and it's really hard for traders to learn this. It's okay to miss a trade. It's okay to not be involved in the market. If you are unsure of the market, if you don't feel comfortable in it, if you don't see it clearly, it's okay to not be involved. Because, you know, you're not going to be thinking about lost money. You're not going to be thinking about what you did yesterday or what you did before. The only trade that matters to me ever is the next trade that I'm going to make. And that's why it's so important. It's my job as a trader to be here tomorrow, because that might be the day that my wildest financial dreams come true. So breaking bad habits is just simply a matter of knowing who we are. If we don't know who we are as a trader, we are in big trouble. My daily routines help me to develop good habits just on a day-to-day basis. Eating right, sleeping right, taking care of myself emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and then it enables me to take the emotion out of trade. So I don't keep my P&L on my screen. My P&Ls aren't, I don't have P&Ls up on my screens at all. I don't know what my money is. I can't look up at the S&P and see, oh, look, I'm long and I'm up 1,000, 1,200, 1,500. You know, when I did that, I would exit trades too quickly, or I would hold on to losers too much. I've never been much of an average, you know, a trader that averaged losers, but I would get out too early, and I would hold on to losers too long if I'm staring at the P&L. So I've taken that off, and that's helped me. Along with habits that I've built, to fall back on trusting myself. If we really don't know who we are as traders, then we're going to have a tough time being long-term profitable. That is the most important. The hardest part about trading is us. The hardest part about trading is me and what I bring into it. I have a very simple strategy. I have a very simple process that I employ every day. And that simple process that I employ every day, it exploits the entire day's range often. I leave something on the table, but I exploit the range and I exploit the trend oftentimes. I miss it. And when I miss it, that's okay because I know that there'll be another one. I've learned how to trust myself because I've got guidelines, I've got habits that I've been able to fall back on.
Something else I know that you're working on is physical health alongside with, you know, your mindset, mental health, right? You've been working really hard on this. I saw the post you put on Twitter and how you made a commitment to it. Talk to us about what triggered you to give such a strong commitment to physical health and working on mental health.
Well, you know, like I told people the story of what happened to me last year, which was basically I had an anaphylactic response to coffee and toast. And it was soon after, you know, my husband had moved out. He was moving across country. So it was just me and the kids, and I freaked out and, you know, was hospitalized for the weekend, and they ran all these tests, and it turned out I was allergic to nothing, no food, allergies at all. And they suspected it was stress. And that was just a real wake-up call, just understanding that stress could have such a, you know, serious impact on your health. You know, I mean, I had some high blood pressure, but I never really expected something like that. So from there, like I decided, you know, for myself and my kids, I really need to make health a priority, but it's a lot easier said than done. You know, I think we all have in mind that we want to eat better and exercise more, et cetera. But, you know, day by day, it's really hard to incorporate that into your routine. And it was just a slow, gradual thing, but, you know, and coming across different people and who were had a positive impact on my life, and somehow I think also the start of the new year just really jump started things for me, where I just made a resolution to be more active, more, you know, physically active. And, you know, given that trading is such a sedentary profession, and it worked out that my kids have a, you know, very early bus in the morning. You know, they have to take them by like 6:35, and I'm already out the door, so I really had no excuse not to continue on to the gym, and so it progressed from there. And I have to thank a lot of people on Twitter who just basically, gave me the support and encouraged me, you know, and so I take these stealth pictures of the gym just to prove that I was there. And it's become part of my morning routine. And while I'm on the treadmill, I look at mobile charts and I post my thoughts. And it's, you know, I'm not a morning person, so it really, you know, jump starts my brain and gets me into looking at charts and putting together my thoughts for, you know, Globex action and how pre-market is shaping up and what to expect for the day.
It's amazing how much working on your physical health helps your mental health. Right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Definitely. I'm far more alert than I ever was, I think.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.